Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast and another installment of our Bible on Business series. I am excited. We're going to be talking about marketing today. Before we get there though, I want to tell y'all that I have an open house coming up for my Purpose to Podcast program. Y'all have heard me before on the show talk about just the transition of my business and how I have this mentorship program now because I believe in the podcasting industry. There's no shortage of information. When I first started, there wasn't a lot of info and I was able to help hundreds of people launch and grow their platforms. Now, I believe what's missing is guidance, especially in a Christian entrepreneurship space, because it's noisy in the podcasting industry, period. It's definitely noisy in this Christian content creator space. And it is really a passion of mine right now, not just to help entrepreneurs or podcast creators grow their platforms, but to do so in a way that honors the Lord, in a way that is pure, in a way that is consistent with scripture, in a way to where you're also encouraged and not being muted and boxed in by the enemy and all of the attacks that he's going to throw your way as you do what God has called you to do. So this program, my first group started in May. It has been just successful in more ways than I could have even imagined. And I am excited to do it again. I have an open house that's coming up on July 17th. The link is going to be in the show notes. Of course, it's free. I just want you to come, hear about the program, hear from the women who've been in the program, and just see how I could serve you in this season and if God is calling us together in this season. So again, the link for that will be in the show notes. Open house is coming up July 17th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, let's continue with our Bible on Business series. This series is all about exploring what the Word says and how that applies to this entrepreneurship journey. I think it's wonderful how this space of Christian entrepreneurship has grown so much, but in that, I believe that it has been perverted and tainted in many ways to where it's like another prosperity gospel movement. It's people are using faith for marketing and using scripture as a way to justify their own plans and their own process and their own timing, as opposed to us making ourselves servants to the Lord. We use faith, and I use air quotes, to make the Lord and the scripture subject to us. And I don't like that. So with this series, I really just want us to explore the Word and the richness of the text and how there's so much here beyond just motivation and inspiration and the promises of God and how he wants to prosper us and how he'll do exceedingly and abundantly. Like, all of those things are true. All of those things are in the word, but there's so much more. Those specifics on how to build your team, how to manage your money, how to market your business, all of those things are right here in the word. And as believers, we also have the benefit of the Holy Spirit, who will reveal and allow the text that we're reading to minister to our specific situations. So as we go through these different scriptures throughout this series, again, I can't admonish you enough to go back and read them for yourself. Take what God has called you to do into your quiet time, into your personal study of this text, and watch what he does. Watch what he reveals. Watch the clarity that he gives you. Watch the correction that he gives you and how he will do it with such love and just line things up exactly the way that they should for his plan. Not yours, not mine, but his. And if this series has blessed you, leave us a 5-star review. Shoot me an email and tell me what has been going on as you're applying the principles that we're talking about here. I love to hear you guys' stories. Today, we're going to be parked at 1 Corinthians 9:22, and we'll go really from 19 to 23. But for our anchor scripture, I want to highlight 22. To give you some context, where we are in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing a letter to the church of Corinth. He's talking about different issues within the church, about division and morality and the conduct of Christians. Now, where we come to in verse 9, in chapter 9, Paul is talking about how he's given up his rights, specifically to financing. So he talked about even earlier on, he said, what soldier has to pay his own expenses? What farmer plants a vineyard and doesn't have the right to eat some of his fruit? What shepherd cares for a flock of sheep and isn't allowed to drink some of the milk? Even in verse 14, he says, in the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. And he says, yet I've never used any of these rights. And I'm not suggesting that I want to start now. In fact, I'd rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge. So what he was communicating in all of chapter 9 is just his dedication to preaching the good news, essentially. And that dedication is further communicated in verse 22. I'm going to read it in the NIV and then I'm going to read it in the Message. So 1 Corinthians 9:22 in the NIV says, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means, I might save some. The Message version elaborates a bit further. It says, even though I am free of the demands and the expectations of everyone, I have voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous, moralist, loose living immoralist, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I've become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. I did all of this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. Now, when I first came across this text, it was because I was reading a book on evangelism, just for my own enjoyment, not preparing for the podcast or anything like that. But this text stood out to me because it reminded me so much of marketing and sales. And again, the context, though, of this text is in evangelism because Paul is sharing the good news. He's talking about how he is learning and putting himself in people's shoes so that he can properly share the good news with them. Earlier on in the text in verse 20, he said, when I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I'm not subject to the law, I did this so that I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. Verse 21, when I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. So he made himself subject to all of these experiences without compromising his own righteousness, though. Let me be clear about that. Okay. He did not cross any boundaries, but he lived amongst people so that he can understand them, so that he can connect with them and be more effective at sharing the good news. When it comes to marketing and sales, there are so many similarities. Marketing as a whole is very multifaceted. It includes market research, product development, pricing strategy, promotion, distribution, sales, customer service. All of these things comprise the marketing mix. So all of these different elements that go into marketing as a whole. It is a lot more in depth, a lot more strategic, and it's a lot more varied than people discuss, unless you have a marketing background. So I have a MBA, my background is in marketing, so it's kind of my space. But for those who are not in that space, you, I believe, a lot of times dumb marketing down to just the promotions part, just the posting on social media or handing out some flyers, where it is way more layered and complicated than that. And evangelism is also multifaceted. And I believe that Paul communicates that or shows that in him talking about what he does to make sure he's effective in sharing the good news. And to better communicate this, I did a little digging to really just give you some key points and how evangelism and marketing are very similar. So they're similar first in message and value proposition. So both marketing and evangelism require a clear, compelling message. Clear, okay, and compelling. And marketing is the product's value proposition. So what sets this product or service apart from others? And evangelism is the core belief system of our faith. It's telling the people the truth about Jesus Christ and how he is the way, the truth, and the life, and how no one will get through the Father except through him. Another core similarity is target audiences. So in both evangelism and marketing, they involve identifying and understanding a target audience. Paul gave his example on how he identified and how he understood his target audience. Marketers, we study a consumer demographics and psychographics, and we do that to see who is going to be receptive to our message and how to communicate to them in a way that they receive it. Another commonality is building relationships. Effective marketing and evangelism both rely on building relationships. In marketing, that looks like nurturing leads, customer loyalty, customer service, all of those things. In evangelism, it means more so fostering a community of believers. It means discipleship, but the foundation is relationship. When Paul went and evangelized, he built relationships with people by doing life with them so that he could understand them. And of course, persuasion and conversion is a part of both of them. So both evangelism and marketing, you are persuading individuals to take a desired action. In marketing, that means making a purchase. In evangelism, that means getting saved, embracing the faith. So both require storytelling, as we've seen in the parables, how Jesus often spoke in parables, addressing objections. We see that in evangelism with apologetics. We see that in sales when you are trying to convince someone to buy your product or service over another. There are so many similarities, and I could even take it a step further to talk about follow-ups and engagement. So in marketing, when you are following up with people, we use tools like CRM systems, which are customer relationship management systems, where you follow up with people who've expressed interest in your product or service, where you may be sending out emails and various campaigns and newsletters to engage your list, whether you're responding to comments and DMs, you're engaging and following up with people there to either guide them to a sale or to guide them to some type of act to promote your product or service further. In evangelism, engagement and follow-up looks like mentorship programs, discipleship programs, where you're just continuously pouring into people and doing life with them as they mature and grow in the faith. So I hope you're seeing through these points how evangelism directly relates to marketing. And I make this correlation because I just want you to see that the Bible has everything that you need for your business. I know we have all of these great thought leaders, and we have books, and we have programs, and all of these resources to help us grow our businesses. I'm not saying don't use those things. But what I'm saying is this text, this manual, God's word, the Bible says that he and his word are one. So God's word is available to us, and it is applicable to our business too, not just to provide encouragement and motivation, but to provide detailed instruction on how to operate these businesses that he's blessed us with. So hold his word in his book and his text in the same regard that you hold the word and the text of other people who you've seen achieve the levels of success that you want to achieve. Before you buy your next business book, I challenge you to read the word. I challenge you to find scripture and text within the Bible that you can pull and apply to solve your business needs. I challenge you to do that. Before you go on Amazon, before you buy something from somebody's book club as it relates to business, go to your word. That is my challenge to you. And if you don't know where to start, allow this series to point you in the right direction. If marketing is something that you feel like you need help with in your business, go to this text. Go to 1 Corinthians 9 and read it for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal and make it specific to your situation. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important. And in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need.
If building a team is where you're seeking help on right now, go to last week's episode and explore Exodus and explore the other places. If leading people and growing this business and doing so responsibly is what you're seeking the Lord for right now, go back to the first episode about shepherding. And subscribe and continue to follow on this journey as we go through this series, because God is doing something here. He is doing something through this series. He's trying to get your attention to show you that he knows what he's talking about. The enemy has used entrepreneurship as a pathway to get us to become our own gods, to become a slave to our selfish ambition. This business space is luring. It's tempting. But the Lord wants you to see through this series that he has the answers that you're looking for. I can't even be fully articulate in words what I am discerning and I'm seeing in the spirit. And I don't want to process it on the microphone. So all I'm going to say is for that person who feels like you're missing something, You feel like you have to go somewhere else to get your answers. You're reading all the books, you're signing up for all the programs, you're watching all the videos, you're doing all the things. God wants you to see through this series, your answers are right here in this text, not on this podcast, in the text. Just let these episodes plant seeds or water seeds. Play whatever part these shows are supposed to play in God's ultimate plan, but just use it to go back to Him, to go back to the text for yourself, and let the Holy Spirit reveal what it means for you. Back to our anchor text. Now that we understand the similarities between evangelism and marketing, I want to pull three implications from the text that we can apply when it comes to marketing our business. The first one, write this down, is adaptability. Remember, Paul adapted. We see it in verse 19 through 23. Again, it says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under that law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so that I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. In other words, he adapted. When you fail to adapt in your business, you are setting your business up for failure. I might be aging myself, but do y'all remember Blockbuster? Gen Z, y'all might not. Some of the older ones maybe, but you may not. Most of us here, though, if my analytics are correct, we remember Blockbuster. When I was younger, I looked forward to going to Blockbuster. I would go, and where I grew up at, it was one right by 7-Eleven. So whenever I would go to my grandma's house, she would take me to 7-Eleven. I'm gonna get my sunflower seeds, my ring pops, all of the things. Then I'm going over to Blockbuster. I'm picking out my games. I used to love the little dancing games to play on my PlayStation, the little Britney Spears game, like all of those. I would get my Blockbuster movies and we'll have a good weekend. And then we would take them back once the rental period was over. So Blockbuster was that girl. Blockbuster, though, they failed to adapt with the times. Netflix actually started as a DVD rental service, and now they're one of the leading streaming platforms because they saw where things were going, where the industry was going, where paying all these rental fees was not going to work. People weren't turning their movies in. People wanted to watch things when they wanted to watch them and be done with it when they were done with it. So people weren't returning stuff to Blockbuster. They had all of these fees. That model was becoming more and more outdated. So Netflix was innovative in nature initially when they had this rental service for DVDs, where instead of people having to physically go to Blockbuster, they could get it shipped to their home. But even still, as the digital age was advancing so fast, they had to adapt with the times, and they did. And because they did, they're now one of the leading subscription service or streaming services. Blockbuster, where's she at? Blockbuster should have done what Netflix did, but they didn't. And now when I tell my kids these same stories about Blockbuster, they're going to be looking at me like I got three heads. Another example is Kodak. And I ain't talking about Kodak Black the rapper. I'm talking about the camera company. Them little disposable cameras that we would buy before going on vacation. And then once we got home, we would go to CVS or wherever and have them print out the photos to have in our photo albums. I have boxes at my parents' house or my grandmother's house of just photos that were taken on these Kodak cameras. Kodak was a leader in the photography and the film industry, but they did not embrace or adapt to the changing of the times. The market was shifting to digital technology, and they were not trying to embrace it because they were fearful, really, of what that would mean for their business model. And because they were successful, they just didn't jump on it. And by 2012, they filed bankruptcy. And then now they are back and monetizing in different ways, but they're definitely nowhere near close to where they were. And they'll never get there again because, in my opinion, the time has passed. They failed to adapt, and that led to the failure of their business. So for whatever God has called you to do, you must always adapt. Adapt to the needs of your audience. Paul adapted to the cultures that he was in so that he could better evangelize. You adapt to the individuals that you are called to the needs of your target audience so that you can better solve their problems. So you can learn about new problems. So you could see the opportunities that are coming so that your business can then adapt to that and stay relevant and stay successful and continue to grow as times and industry and technology change. The second implication I want to highlight from the text, again, write this down, is mission-mindedness. Paul did everything he did for one mission. And he says it in verse 23, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. This is our same mission. The purpose of your business is to make money. And I said it earlier in the episode, the how you go about that is for the Lord to reveal to you. But whatever the mission and the specific assignment that God has given you is, keep that top of mind and do everything that you do to advance that mission. The mission of Anchored Media, my business, is to fill the airwaves with good news. That is the mandate that the Lord gave me. So when we create products and services, when I do all the things that's going to generate profit and income for my business, the number one objective, though, is to fill the airwaves with good news. So with this podcast, I do what I have to do to grow my listenership so that I can make money via advertising. But in these episodes, I am filling the airwaves with good news. I am spreading the gospel. With my business programs, I do what I have to do to price them correctly, to make sure that I am solving the problems of my consumers, to make sure things are organized in a way to where all things within that marketing mix we discussed are considered. However, in that, my goal is to fill the airwaves with good news. So as I am helping people build their platforms, I am evangelizing, I am discipling them, I am mentoring them, I am doing Bible studies with them, I am showing them the scripture and how to make sure that what they're saying on their platforms is in alignment with the scripture. I'm holding them accountable to make sure that they are praying and they're fasting and that their lifestyles are a representation of what they're talking about on their platforms. So yeah, I'm doing the business stuff and my businesses do well and they grow and they make money and all the things. However, I'm mission-minded to fill the airwaves with good news. I'm mission-minded to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations. I'm mission-minded to keep myself as a sheep to the great shepherd, to keep myself subject to these same scriptures that I read every single week, so that my life can be a representation of the goodness of God. I'm mission-minded. So as you build your business, do so with the mission and being focused on it, whatever the specifics are for you and your calling. We know the generals. Again, the generals are to spread the good news and to make money in your business. But the mission that God has you on in particular, keep that top of mind. And make sure that that is the boundary in which you do everything else. The last implication of the text that I want you to apply to your business and marketing in particular is empathy. Again, empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. I know now it's popular to want to automate everything. We have all these great tools with AI and automation and all of these things that allow us to be disconnected. And I think those things are great to alleviate the manual administrative tasks of our hands, but you should never fully disconnect from the people that you're called to reach. So whatever you automate and whatever you do, create this boundary. That, hey, yeah, I can have these emails automatically send out. I can create these funnels to where one thing impacts the other. So there's not a lot of manual, mundane tasks that I'm doing. But I need to implement those things while still connecting with my audience. And for me, what that looks like practically in my business is I do things like the town hall. I do things like an open house. So instead of manufacturing a pre-recorded webinar or training to initiate the funnel to get people to a sale. I like to do things that are live so that I can interact with my consumers, so that I could talk to you, so that I could hear your opinions and your thoughts. When I do live events, I'm usually always very hands-on. I want to sit next to you. If I'm speaking at an event, I'm going to come before I'm necessarily scheduled to, because I want to sit in the audience. I want to talk to the person next to me. I want to see what they're talking about. I want to hear what the other speakers are talking about. I want to serve in more ways than what the 40-minute speech I may be being paid for allocates. That allows me, in my opinion, to serve with empathy, to really understand what people are talking about, what people are going through, because that's going to help me serve them better. That's going to help me disciple them better. That's going to help me anticipate their needs better in business, which is going to increase my bottom line. And most importantly, if I can understand them better, if I can sit with them more, if I can connect with them more, I can do a better job of sharing the good news. I could do a better job of my mission of filling the airwaves with good news. So for you, as you're planning your marketing, which again, it goes way beyond just promotion and posting, as you're going through your marketing mix, Google marketing mix, it'll list all of them out. As you go through your marketing mix and you're thinking about your product and your value proposition, when you're doing your market research, when you're developing your services and products, when you're thinking about your pricing, your promotion, the customer service, all of these things that go into that marketing mix, do so with a level of empathy, because that's going to help you be more successful in sales and more successful in the mission that the Lord has you on. So that's it for this episode. I'm going to end that here. I pray that this episode blessed you. If it did, leave us a 5-star review. I love you guys, and I'm hyped for the next one. I can't wait to see where the Lord takes us next in this Bible on Business series. Don't forget, if you are interested in my Purpose to Podcast program and working with me as your mentor to help you on your podcasting journey, click the link in the show notes to register for our open house. As you can see, there will be live. I'm looking forward to seeing you, speaking with you, and answering your questions about what we do. And I think that's it. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next episode.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.